questions without notice for Ryko Filters. Unfiltered questions. Insist your mechanic only uses the best for your vehicle's service. Insist on Ryko Filters.
Hey, it's fun Friday. It's been a pretty intense Friday. But it is preliminary final. So if you're off for the prelim tonight, the Cats and the is it a sellout tonight, the Cats and the Tigers? It'd have to be close enough to. You're going to see a great game of footy. And then tomorrow, the Magpies against the Giants. And the Giants are just, maybe it'll galvanise them. They're going to have a massive challenge against the Collingwood side, who have got back into really good form. But I don't think they're in great form just yet, the Maggies. So that'll be interesting on Saturday as well. Questions without notice for Ryko Filters.
Yes, let me ask you, what was your emotional response to when you heard the news that you'd won the Alf Brown at the Media Awards this week?
Well, it was, I get a little bit lost, to be honest, Michael, with, you know, all the events.
Yeah, no, I meant in the pure sense.
Well, I didn't, yeah, I appreciate it. Of course I appreciate it. I understand where it sits in terms of our media industry, because I know, I know Alf Brown's history, but I know the people that have won that award previously, including your good self, and I know that it is taken seriously. But I must admit, I didn't give it a hell of a lot. I got told of it the morning. I wasn't going to the awards because I had a funeral the next day.
Yeah, yeah, no,
that stuff. And so, of course, I'm really humbled by it. But
well, it is actually the acknowledgement of the best media performer of the year.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't. You may not think, because the conversations we have off air are different to the ones we have on here. I'm not that particularly thrilled about talking about myself, but I am. I'm really honoured to have won it. So thank you. Okay. You've won. How many have you won?
Well, I thought I'd won three, but Hutchie told me I'd only won two.
Right, questions without notice. Let's kick off, Wisp.
Mike, do you think Gary Ablett will play on next year, and should he play on next year?
Maybe and no. I don't think he should play on next year. No, I don't at all. I think that the signs are there that he's clearly no longer the player that he was. And I think the telltale sign to me was last week, two set shots for goal from 40 and didn't make the distance with either. And the thing that leaves you, this is funny me telling you two this, but that leaves you and is the telltale sign is the lack of depth in your kicking.
I have an ancillary question. Is it beyond the realms of possibility that he could just pull one out of the bag tonight and be the best player on the ground?
I don't believe so.
Don't you reckon? Wisp, no. What about you? Do you think he's still got that in him?
Yeah, like I think...
Maybe a three or four goal, 20 possession games, a half high half forward?
In the first 2 weeks of the finals, they've gone after him really hard with the players they've played on him. I don't know whether Richmond will go after him and attack him in the same way. So I think there is the potential that he'll have a greater game this tonight against the Tigers than what we've seen him play in the finals.
Gone after Gary Ablett hard for 15 years?
There's been a difference in the way they've gone after him in the finals this season than I think he probably experienced for a lot of the season.
I think it's a bit different going after you hard as a midfielder as opposed to a half forward in terms of where you can go to make
Well,
your point.
Look, if he does, and not for the first time, I'll bow down and apologise to him. But I would think if I were his advisor over the summer, I'd be saying to Gaz, you've been the player of the generation. You've done enough, give it away.
Yeah, I reckon the important thing with players when they get to this point of their career is how much they're going to put into their time into their preparation. So if he's prepared to do that, you actually have to work harder. As you get older, you've got to actually work harder and you've got to work smarter at preparing yourself to play. So if he still has that, and so therefore you've got to have a real deep desire and commitment to still want to play and still want to perform. So if he has that, there is no reason why he couldn't play again next year.
I don't agree, Tim. He has fumbled more times in the past fortnight than he did in the previous 15 years.
I agree that he has. We have seen him fumble in the last fortnight, but we didn't see that during the home and away season to that extent.
Well, the first half of the season, very good. Yeah.
Have you got a question?
Have I got a question?
Yeah, your turn.
He forgot. He left all his notes at home.
I left all my notes at home.
I have a question for you. This is a little bit of jungle drum stuff, and I'm wondering if you could help me out. If Justin Longmuir does not get the Fremantle coaching job, is there a chance that he won't be at Collingwood next year?
Good question, Gaz. I sound like I'm on Footy Classified, don't I? I think there's a real chance of that. If he misses on Freo, Carlton are very, very keen on Justin Longmuir.
To join the David Teague?
Correct, yeah.
Wow. Is there a connection there?
And they haven't finalised. Carlton refuse to finalise their coaching support panel
until
they know what's happening at Freo.
Oh, so Justin Longmuir.
He's got the reputation
Freo
he's got.
Or Carlton.
It might, right now, if I were punting, I'd say he's going to end up at Carlton.
I don't like that question without notice.
As David Rath, has he been Clarko'd?
I just got that down here. I said Clarko's now got game development proteges.
So he's been appointed to St Kilda's coaching panel?
Yes, he's not the coaching panel. He's David Rath going in as the, I've written this down, to oversee coaching, leadership and game analysis. That's about as important. That's the second most important role at your club.
Obviously. He's the mechanics man, isn't he?
Yeah, the game guru, style guru, who went to the AFL to help Steve Hocking and others put in place the new sort of the changes that were made to the game this year.
What about you, Mike? Mike and the mechanics.
I was a one-hit wonder, Tim. Hey, Gaz, Tommy Lynch.
Oh, I love this.
We've broached this subject before the break.
Yeah.
The difference in his life in 12 months.
I just needed us all to stop and think about this. So there's a young Melbourne man,
Sereno
Peninsula
boy.
Yep. Who's played all his footy here. Touted as the big thing. Gets drafted, obviously, goes to an expansion club. As a youngster, he's thinking, he's dreaming of playing AFL footy in Melbourne. You know, dreaming that. And then as his development goes, this expansion club emerges, and he would have been just a young kid, and he would have said to someone, what does this mean? They would have said, well, if you're in the best eight players, this is where you're going. So he would have been thinking, well, that's not what I wanted. And then he goes up there, stays there, captain, club's going nowhere. Fast. He's looking down at the MCG on finals day thinking, that's where I wanted to be. And he wakes up this morning, 12 months down, shakes his head, looks out the window, bit of sun around, 98,000 at the MCG. He's playing in the red hot favourites.
Yeah.
How good's life?
It's unfolded perfectly for him. He paid his dues at the Gold Coast, didn't he? I don't think anyone would query his commitment to the Gold Coast for six or seven years. And he's come back in the prime of his life.
Yep.
And he's going to play in the big MCG final.
But that's what he wants. I mean, that's what footy, and this is the sliding door moments of life that we don't pay enough attention to. He could have stayed there and been a very good player at the end of his career, but we wouldn't have thought much about him in 10 or 15 or 20 years. You know, he can now be, you know, maybe at a premiership, maybe two, maybe, you know, and a Coleman medal. And we'll be looking at him as a Hall of Fame potential candidate.
Timbo. And applauded for his loyalty.
Yep. Timbo, who of these four will GWS miss most? Callan Ward, Canelio, Green, Whitfield.
God, it's a tough question. You know who I think, though? I think Toby Green. Because of his match-winning abilities. They're all great players, those four players. But I think it's Toby Green who can do something that the other three players actually can't do. And that's go forward and create havoc by being able to kick goals. And I'm talking about goals out of just half chances. He's capable of doing that. And he can go in the midfield and do the other stuff as well. So a fit Toby Green is the bloke out of those four that they would miss the most.
That's four of their best six.
Yeah.
That's right.
Don't
forget Collingwood are missing a number of players tonight, though, too.
Yep.
They've been able to deal with that over the course of the... Are we now thinking... I think that when Nathan Buckley said it was a Hail Mary pass that they were sending to go to Germany, and he was only like a minute chance of him coming back and playing should they make the grand final, I'm thinking now, the vision that we're seeing him on the track, I'm thinking he's a real chance to play should they make the grand final to Goey.
And I suppose the difference is working on the track and working in a game, isn't it?
He's been run hard, though, on the track.
Yeah, he has, but as hard as he would have to in a game. Yeah, very good piece on Brett Delidio on the mark last night with Neroli Meadows.
I'm going to catch up.
You need to watch that. I mean, it's just such a sad...
What was the best part of it?
Well, I think that just the things that we forget about the trauma in players' lives off the field. I mean, we all know about Brett Delidio and his soft tissue problems, but his life off the field has been horrendous in the last 24 months.
Oh, we'll catch up with that, I promise. How much will last year's heartache for Collingwood drive them tonight?
I don't think it has any relevance at all.
No, you have no relevance.
No,
you put no stock
so.
In the fact that they were led into the last minute and a half of a grand final.
No. I mean, the same club was runner-up in five grand finals in a row at one point. I mean, it doesn't...
That's back when you were in nappies.
Yeah, but it's still the point's still valid about if, in fact, the pain of last year will drive you next year. No, I don't subscribe to that.
Right.
Team changes, different opponent. Do you, Tim, do you have any...
I think it affects your attitude right throughout the course of the year, not just for one game, but the way that you attack everything that you do, because you've gotten that close, you haven't been able to win that particular game that defines your career ultimately. I think it does.
So you're sort of saying if you're unlucky one year, that you will redeem yourself the next.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that when it gets down to the way you prepare yourself, you know the feeling that you were left with after you've lost a grand final. Yeah. You know now that you still have the opportunity to get into a grand final and win a grand final and rectify that and become a winner. I think it makes a difference to
the way. See, I'm working on the assumption as the layman that every time you blokes ran out on the ground and these blokes ran out on the ground, they give you 100%. They're totally committed.
But there's 100% and then there's more than 100%.
Is like, there?
Not more than 100% because that's a silly thing to say. But there are times when you went into games with a relaxed attitude of mind because of you've been softened by the results that you might have had previously, what you were playing for, that type of thing. And then there's the true and the ultimate commitment to the cause. And that's where I see Collingwood at right now. And that's not to say the Giants have had their own disappointments over the last few years. They've got close and haven't been able to do it. So there shouldn't be any more, in terms of that part of it, there shouldn't be any more motivation for the Collingwood players than what the Giants have.
Yeah, well, I'll settle for that answer. Yeah.
Last one. Mick Mulder says Australia's got a problem with age. He spoke with Damien Barrett in the Game podcast. Have a listen to this.
In today's society here in Australia, unfortunately, I don't know if it's just an Australianism or what, but we do have a age-centric environment. We just don't. There seems to be little respect for age.
In your eyes, could you coach again?
Oh, I know I could coach again, but I won't.
You know you won't. You know you won't be offered a job.
It would never happen. It would never
because
happen.
Because of this ageist mentality?
I'm sure it's because of age.
Agree or disagree, you two?
No, I don't agree totally with that.
With the AFL's attitude to age?
If Mick had finished as a premiership coach, say...
He's a premiership coach.
No, I'm in his last... I mean, if he's...
Well, he did and got moved on the next year.
No, I'm talking about when he finished at Carlton.
Yeah.
If he'd been seen to have done an outstanding job at Carlton, I reckon people would have considered him having another crack at it.
Right, there are mitigating circumstances, though. So shouldn't his history wouldn't be define him just on what he did?
No. But I'm saying if he'd come off that, if there was say,
yeah, but what you're saying is you're sorry to argue, but you're agreeing with him because if you judged him on his whole career,
but your whole career is based on his performances were best at West Coast and Collingwood, right?
Yeah,
and then I think the time at Carlton probably hurt him. I reckon he'd regret that he went to Carlton.
Oh, I should have brought that up earlier because I would have liked to flesh that out with you, but we're running out of time. The call of the week is Lee from Lilydale. Opened up hearing about Spud's struggles, and that certainly helped throughout the week talking about it. We encourage everyone to continue to talk, but he opened up about his struggles and become aware that his wife was dealing with issues as well. Yes, that's right, and that's exactly who it was, Lee. And listening to Spud talk and Wayne Schwartz and everyone else has helped him along the way. So, Lee, you're in the running for the magnificent Toyota Hilux SR5. We'll be back to wrap up after this.